this morning? If you believe there is life and death in the power of the spoken word, would you hold your Bible in the air? Would you declare with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. Book of John, chapter 1. That's in the New Testament. Beginning at verse 1. The Holy Spirit records, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to say thank you again for giving us your Spirit that allows our hearts and our minds to be opened up to the things of your kingdom, to be able to hear your voice, to be able to have your Logos word come alive and become a Rhema word in our life. Before we begin today, I want to thank you that you have prepared every heart and every mind for what you're wanting to do this morning. I plead the blood of Jesus over this building, and I declare this to be holy, uninterrupted ground. And Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you would take literal possession of me again. You would possess my mind and my mouth. I only want to say those things that I hear you say and do those things that I see you do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic entity that would seek to snatch or pervert the word that is going to be sown. You are silent during this time. Father, I want to say thank you again that you are speaking powerfully to your children in these days. I want to say thank you that you are going to be saying things this morning that are not going to come out of my mouth. You are going to speak them directly into the hearts of your sheep who have ears to hear. Let them hear it. Let them know it's you. Let them capture it. And let them be obedient to it. We believe that one word from you can change everything. And so by faith, we say thank you in advance. Powerful and beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody in agreement said, amen. This morning I want to paint a picture for you in the physical that is a parable of the spiritual, the way that Jesus did it. And I just want to tell you this picture is going to be so imperfect. It is going to require the Holy Spirit to allow you and I to grasp this today. That's why I have confidence, because the Holy Spirit is able to do that. And so I'm believing that. I want you to think for a moment, if someone was asked to paint a picture of what it is that captures the essence of Christmas, if someone came to you, if I went to the mall, if I went out on the street and I asked people out there, I said, would you just quickly describe or draw a picture of what it is that captures the essence of Christmas for you, what do you think some of those pictures would be? I want Linda to just throw up in the screen here. There are some people, this might be their those who experience it, many take it for granted, but that is a beautiful picture. Somebody might draw another picture, and all they might do is they might draw a picture of a Christmas tree loaded with gifts, because for them, that is what it's about. It is about the joy of buying stuff, the joy of putting it underneath there, the joy that comes from giving people gifts and getting gifts. When they write it down, they might draw the picture and go, this is what Christmas is about. Once a year, this is the only time it happens. And let me tell you how many people do that, because from January till March or May, how many people are paying off their credit cards in order to make this picture of Christmas a reality? There are some who would do that. There are some spilling out of this picture that might have the scene of children sitting in their living room after opening the gifts and playing with the toys that they asked Santa for, and a whole bunch more, because mom and dad want to make Christmas happy and a memorable time. And they would be people who say, you know what, Christmas is all about the kids anyway. That's really what it is. This is a time when it's about the kids, so let's make it about the kids. I got to put it up there because there are some who would draw the picture of Santa and the reindeer. That is their picture of Christmas. And I'll tell you honestly, and I know you do too, I mean, we enjoy watching some of the Christmas movies. How many of you have watched Christmas or Miracle on 34th Street? How many of you have seen it? It's okay to be truthful at church. Great. How many of you have watched Santa Claus with Tim Allen? How many of you have seen that one? Come on, those are good movies, right? As long as you know they're not real. Great movies. We enjoy watching those. But for some people, they'll look and go, this is about Santa. That is what it's about. There might be one more. And I think for most of us who know Christ and really know what it's about, we would probably paint or draw the picture of the Nativity. And we would put Jesus in the manger, we'd have the feed trough, we'd surround him with Mary and Joseph and the sheep and the shepherds, and a rustic old stable with a fire that's glowing and putting off the shadows all over the place, giving them warmth and peace. It is an absolutely beautiful picture. But I want to paint you one more picture this morning. And it's one that for most of us as believers, we wouldn't think about this. Kate, if you would just hit those for me. I want to paint a picture that is absolutely, totally dark. Can I have you do the stage lights as well? Now, I can't do this part because we legally need to keep the exit lights on. If you can kill the screen as well. And so just for a moment, I need you to close your eyes with me just to take the picture a little bit darker than what we can do in the building. Would you close your eyes? I want you to just put your hand in front of your face. Don't open your eyes, but put your hand in front of your face. The goal is for it to be so dark. And I want to tell you, when we moved out to the acreage, it, over and over and over, when we would have people come or the kids' friends would come and we'd go outside at night and it was cloudy, one of the comments that we heard over and over, they go, man, is it dark out here? It never gets this dark in the city. And I'll tell you, there's times when I'm out in the night checking animals, whatever, it is so dark I can literally put my hand in front of my face and I can't see a single thing. I can't see my hand. That is how dark it is. We can't replicate that in here. In the spiritual realm, the Christmas story would begin with nothing other than complete black. And I want you to know, it is not only a physical blackness, it is a spiritual blackness. A darkness that dropped on the earth 4,000 years earlier when Adam and Eve fell, and they were removed from the garden. The lights that had shined is instantly present. You can open your eyes and just look at the front for a bit. For 4,000 years, if you could see with spiritual eyes, the earth realm would be called the kingdom of darkness. That's what Paul in Colossians 1:13 says. The earth realm is the kingdom of darkness. With Satan, the god of this world, in whom there is no light at all, rules this realm. And every person on earth would be described as people sitting in darkness, people living in darkness, people who are veiled with darkness. It's what Isaiah 9 says, is when the Messiah would come, he would come to those who are sitting in darkness. Because that's the spiritual realm. So the Christmas story is the picture of something that happened in complete spiritual darkness. Something that happened in the kingdom of darkness in this earth realm. And this is the picture. It is the picture of a single light coming from the kingdom of light, coming from the Father of light, coming from the place where there is no sun and no moon because there is no need for light. Why? Because Revelation 21 says this, God is light himself. Jesus is light himself. Holy Spirit is light himself. In Revelation 21, the city does not need a sun or a moon to shine. Why? Because the glory of God is its light. The Lamb is its lamp. I want you to think about this. When in Philippians we read about Jesus emptying himself before he came to the earth as a man, what does it mean? Can you imagine if Jesus came in all of his heaven glory, all of his light, all of his splendor, all of the presence of God with him, and one day he will, by the way. One day that is how he's going to come. Sunglasses won't be able to protect you, but not at Christmas. Not at his first coming. At Christmas, this is possibly the purest picture that could be planted of what it was all about. I wish this room was absolutely dark. A light showed up in the darkness. A light from the kingdom of light dialed right down so when somebody looked at it, they would not die. Entered into the kingdom of darkness and began to shine. The light of the world, as Jesus later would call himself, stepped down into darkness. He came to those who sat and lived in complete spiritual lack. Look at what John 1:5 says. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness didn't understand it. The darkness did not understand this. Can I ask you? Those who are living in darkness, what do they understand? When we were still living in darkness before coming to Christ, coming to the light, how clearly did we understand things? Those out there who are still living in darkness, the light has not been turned on the inside of them, how well do they understand? In darkness, you don't. In darkness, you can't understand it. But in the spiritual realm, ask you a question, how well did the kingdom of darkness understand that this light showed up? Let me tell you how well. The prince of darkness and the kingdom of darkness an infant, they tried to snuff out this light. They tried to turn it off. They tried to make sure this light would never live and never grow. How many children were killed in an effort to wipe out this one light? Reminded me of what happened in May 14, 1948. Anybody know what happened on that day? May 14, 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn after almost 2,000 years. And on the day that the nation of Israel was reborn, the kingdom of darkness tried to kill it as it was coming out of the womb. Nation after nation after nation coming against Israel to eliminate it before it could even get its feet on the ground and begin walking. Someone once said, if you ever need proof of God, all you have to do is look at the existence of the nation of Israel, and that will tell you that God exists. Can I ask you a question? Darkness does what darkness does. Did darkness try to take out Jesus? He did, and he failed. Did darkness try to take out Israel? It tried and it failed. Is darkness trying to take out millions of children every year before they see the light of day? In fact, is he trying to take out all children before they see the light of day? He is, but can I tell you, he's failing. Can I ask you a question? Has the enemy tried to take out the church from its formation in Acts chapter 2 until today? Has darkness tried to take it out? But he's failed. When Jesus came, the light of the world, the darkness did not overcome him. Can I tell you? Failed with you and me because we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We have been transferred to the kingdom of light. Let's look at a few things. For 30 years after Jesus' birth, the light of the world lived under a basket until the time was right. Secondly, before he entered on the scene, God sent a forerunner by the name of John the Baptist, who the Bible says was a witness to the light. He was not the light himself, but he came as a witness to the light that was coming. Thirdly, when Jesus stepped out of the water at his baptism and the Holy Spirit filled him, the light that had been dim was turned on so bright, all of a sudden the power was lit up. Love in Luke chapter 4 when it says, after he was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. It says he went in full of the Spirit. He came out with the electricity on because the power was on full. What did he do? What he did? He did what he later called his disciples to do, and he began to let his light shine before men. Why? So they could see his good works and praise his Father in heaven. Everywhere Jesus went, his light shone. People saw his good works. They were amazed at what he was doing. And as he did that, the Bible says he went around shining his light on those who were in bondage to darkness and destroyed the work of darkness in their lives. Destroying it. Undoing the works of the kingdom of darkness. And bringing people to the light. I want to encourage you, when you read through the New Testament, I want to encourage you to look at what the light did in the lives of people. The blind saw. The lepers were healed. The possessed were delivered. The dead were raised. The sick Jesus went around destroying and punching holes in the darkness. We know the story. The enemy did everything in his power to take that light out. And for a brief moment, for 3 days and for 3 nights, the enemy thought he won. But on resurrection morning, the kingdom of darkness took its greatest blow, and the light of the world came back to life brighter than ever, never able to be snuffed out again. Why? Because the light is the life of God in man. That is the light. And I want you to hear this. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of the Father of Lights fell in that upper room, the ultimate goal of Jesus began to be realized, and all of a sudden, it was no longer one light, but how many? I wish we could do that this morning. We don't have the insurance coverage to do it. I would have loved to have given every one of you a candle, and in the exact moment have all of you in the darkness light that candle, and we would get a picture of what happened on Pentecost morning. John 1:9 says this, the true light when he comes gives light to every man. What was Jesus doing? That morning he turned on 120 lights. And I want to tell you, that must have been horrifying for the kingdom of darkness. And then those 120 lights, with boldness, no longer afraid, they stepped out of the upper room and they began to preach into the darkness. And what happened? 3,000 more lights took off. You flip over to the next chapter and hundreds more the next day. And you flip over, hundreds more the next day. The kingdom of darkness has never been able to put that out. When those who were in the kingdom of darkness were exposed to the light, and they believed and received it, the light was turned on the inside of them. This light was turned on the inside of them. And they were instantly, what Paul said, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. 2,000 years, I want to tell you what you know. The kingdom of God has been advancing. For you and I, when we were exposed to the light, whether it was in our homes growing up with our parents who believed and they shared with us and they prayed with us. 5 years of age, I prayed with my mom in order to receive Christ into my life with that childhood prayer. Or whether someone in our world cared enough to share their faith on a bus or at work or wherever it might have been, shining their light in our world. And we believe in that moment when we received Christ, the light went on. And burns in us just as it did in Jesus. I want you to know a couple things. Let's make this really clear. Are we the light? Are we the light? The Bible says this. With John the Baptist, he was not the light of the world, but he was a witness to the light. Can I just say this to you? I am not the light, but I am filled with the light. The light is not about Colin. The light is about Jesus in Colin. I will never forget, and I've told you this story before. I forget what anniversary it was where Jane and I were on a cruise, and I think it must have been one of the early ones because she was pregnant, and I don't know what it is about pregnant women. They want to go to bed early. Things on the cruise don't end early, but about 10 o'clock or 10:30, Jane was bushed and she wanted to go. And I said, Jane, I said, they've got the chocolate fountain in the cafeteria there. You can't go to bed. She goes, Paul, I'm going to bed. I go, you go to bed. I'm going to the chocolate fountain. Well, on the way to the chocolate fountain, I had to pass through the casino. Some of you know this story. I walked into the casino and I'm walking this way, and off on this side is a blackjack table over here, and the dealer was facing me, and there were people who were on the table. They were doing this. I mean, stuff all over the place, slot machines. I mean, all this stuff. I just stopped for a moment and I looked at this dealer. I've never really been in a casino before, and I stopped and looked at him. I don't know how long I was standing there, but all of a sudden, this guy who's backwards toward me, he turns around, he looks right at me, he said, "Would you get out of here? You're messing up my game." I was a little taken aback. I had no problem walking out of that place of darkness, but I want to tell you what the Lord impressed upon me through those calls. The light is in you. It doesn't matter where you go, that lightness is going to mess up those in darkness all around you. Am I the light? Are you the light? You are not the light, but you are filled with the light. I got to tell you honestly, as I was waiting on the Lord and we were talking about this and putting this together, I just said to the Lord, "Father, if that is the only revelation that people get this morning out of all that happens, is that we are filled with the light the same way Jesus was filled with the light. Everywhere I go, I am the light of the kingdom. If that is the only revelation we get walking out of this building, stepping into the darkness, that would be enough." But there's more. Ask you, are we still living in the kingdom of darkness? Yes, we are. This earth realm is still the kingdom of darkness. God is not the ruler of this earth realm. We are still in the kingdom of darkness, but would you hear this? The darkness has not and does not overcome you and me. Light in us exposes and resists the darkness. We stand against it. We overcome it. We walk free of it. That darkness has no power over us. Can I tell you, that is why we are aliens in this world. The earthlings walk in darkness and have no power against it. We walk in light and have all the power against it. Can I ask you a question? Are there still men and women and children in this world who still love the darkness more than the light? I think we are seeing it now more than ever, and I believe in the days that are coming, we're going to see it even greater and greater. There are those who embrace the darkness, they boast of the darkness, they love the darkness. But I want to tell you what you know. People who love the darkness, they were here before Jesus came. And those who love the darkness, they were here when Jesus came. And those who love the darkness more than the light, they were here after Jesus left. And those who love the darkness have been here for 2,000 years. They're here today, and they're still going to be here when Jesus comes back or we lift off the ground. Those people are still going to be here. But can I tell you something? That's why we're still here. I will never forget one of the statements of Navigators. Evangelical campus ministry, they made a statement. They said, if you are already saved, the light is on inside of you, do not go and live in another building where there's another Christian. Two lights are not necessary, just one. Find an apartment where nobody else lives. What is the tendency of the enemy? Man, I'm going to look for other believers and I'm just going to hang out with other people and all the lights are going to just huddle over here and they'll be in darkness, but man, us light people are having a great time. Is that the call of God on our life? Jesus said to those of us who have been filled with His light, He said this, "Let for those who are still sitting in darkness. Let it shine before those who still love the darkness. Let it shine before those who are in bondage to darkness. Let your light shine and let the light do what light does. I'm going to ask you a really dumb question. Did the light inside of Jesus affect people's lives while he was here on earth? Did the light inside his disciples affect people's lives while they were on earth? Did the light inside of the people of the early church, did that light affect the lives of people that were in darkness in their... Can I ask you, for 2,000 years, has the light inside of God's people been affecting people? If that is true, will the light inside of you and me affect people's lives in darkness today? If I was the enemy, I would do everything in my power to make sure that you never take your light into dark places. If I was the enemy, I would make sure you surround yourself with people of light. That is all you do. That is all you spend time with. That is the only place you go. Light with light with light with light. Can I ask you a question? Am I successful as the enemy? If the light inside of us has the ability to affect people in the kingdom of darkness, no wonder Jesus said no. Can I tell you something? It is not your power. The power is in the light inside you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the light inside of us. That is where the power is. And can I tell you, that is the Christmas story. Not just for one day of the year, but every day. When Jesus showed up, light stepped into the darkness and lives were changed. When we show up, light steps into darkness and lives are changed. If we could only grasp the power of light and who we are as children of light, and simply let that light shine through us into the darkness, can I tell you, Christmas would break out all around us every day. 2,000 years ago, the picture of Christmas is a light coming into a pitch black spiritual world. Today, the picture of Christmas is the light inside of you and me coming into someone's world who sits in darkness. What a gift that would be to our Savior. Would you bow with me? Dana, can you make your way to the front of the room? Actually, I'd like you to open your eyes, and I'd just like you to look at the candle in front of you. most of all, I want to thank you. On resurrection morning, Jesus stood up in that tomb. The power of darkness was cut. He walked out of that tomb in the glory of his light. 50 days later, when he left, the purpose for which he came began to be fulfilled. The light was turned on in 120 people. They stepped out of the room and the light was turned on in 3,000 people. And as they took their light and went, wherever they went, the light went. Lights were turned on. Lights were turned on. Lights were turned on. For 2,000 years, you have been turning on lights. And Father, because of that, we are here today. Your light has been turned on inside of us. Father, we understand very clearly that we still live in the kingdom of darkness. We're in it, but we are not of it. I want to thank you that the light inside of us shines so brightly and so powerfully. Every place we go, the darkness has to flee. Every place we go, the darkness is pushed out. And I want to thank you that the power of the light is so great that as we step into people's lives who sit in that darkness, that light brings them revelation. That light brings them truth. That light allows them to see and to understand and to believe. Father, you've said in your word that we are not to be ignorant of the enemy's design. We are not ignorant about the fact that he would love us to be surrounded by lights and live our world surrounded by people in light. How comfortable and how wonderful that would be. While the world sits in darkness, and no lights come. May it not be in this place. I pray today you would give us a revelation of the light that fills us as your children. That you would brand the revelation that we are children of light. You would reawaken the call. The call that was on Jesus, the call that was on his disciples, the call that was on the early church, the call that has been on your children all down through time. Let your light shine. Let it shine before men who sit in darkness. They can see your light. Glorify your Father. This morning, Father, I release a grace over this volume. A fresh Pentecost anointing of the light of the world that fills us. A light of the world that the darkness cannot overcome. A light of the world that shines in the darkness and brings light to those who sit in absolute blackness. And I release a grace that over this Christmas season and beyond, your heart for your children who sit in darkness and have not yet seen a light, heart would be manifest. as children of light, seek them out. We find them. We look for them. We go to where they are because they will never come to us. In their darkness, in their dungeon, shine through us and do what light does. I prophetically declare over this Christmas season, there will be many. As a result of our light shining in their dark world, I prophetically declare there will be many who see the light and come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be filled with His light, experiencing Christmas for the first time. I need to ask you one question this morning, family. Are you willing to let your light shine? To take it into places of darkness? Let light do what light does. If, like Isaiah, you can say, God, here am I. Send me. Would you stand with me this morning? Wherever you are, would you stand with me this morning? Father, this morning, as your children, you have filled us with your light. I ask today that you would take the bushel off of us. You would take whatever has kept it hidden. You would take whatever it is that has made that light shine almost not at all. Would you remove it from our life and let us begin to burn for you? Would you release the anointing over us like Dwight L. Moody said, God, set me on fire and let the world see me burn. I ask today for every person standing the revelation that they are filled with the light of the world, that they are children of light in a dark world would become so real. The revelation of that would become so powerful. We would begin to see, as we believe, darkness part like the Red Sea wherever we go. Believe when the light shines. The light will do what the light does. Father, would you seal what you've done here this morning? And I release a grace over every opportunity that crosses our path over this season. That Holy Spirit, not only would we see it, but with your presence, we would step out of that upper room and we would let our light shine in the darkness and we would see a harvest. It would become a gift for you. Lost children coming home, having the light turned on in their life. Savior. Thank you. Light of the world, thank you for coming into our darkness. see Jesus, the light of the world, into your life. You know that you're still living in darkness. But the cry of your heart, this morning the Holy Spirit has spoken, and the cry of your heart today is to believe and to receive. I just invite you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus, light of the world, I invite you to come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me of all of my sin and fill me with your Spirit. Turn on the light. Let me live for you. Prayed that this morning, we believe that you have been born again. You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Today you are a child of God, a child of light. You all stand with me this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord. Child of light, I declare to you today, the Father of lights has blessed you, and he's keeping you. The Father of lights has caused his face to shine on you, and he has been gracious to you.